Let's go.
Welcome in, Jason and John, 90.9 FM ESPN. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wednesday, August 6th edition of the show. Good to be here. My name is John Martin, Brett Carson producing. Jason out this week, continuing to enjoy that vacation, so as he should. It's an interesting time of the calendar. We're, you know, we're closing up on it, approaching, you know, things happening daily. But, I mean, I think we can be honest with each other. It's not happening right now. It's not happening just yet. I mean,
Drew was just talking to me about that.
He's okay. Yeah. I mean, this is part of the job, right? Like, yeah. But I also think, like, let's not, I don't want to, like, try to, you know, lie to you guys either. Like, we all know we're in this thing together. What are we watching at night?
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Hard Knocks. We'll get to that. Because it did make its debut last night, yeah. Which is like, I mean, it's like a oasis in the middle of a desert right now. but I have a sort of larger thought about that. And it's not even, I don't even know if it's like controversial at this point, but this is going to be a heavy media open today on the show.
Because
the media world is definitely changing
It is. Good call there.
And, you know, I hope we're ready. I hope we're ready for the way it's appearing. So Hulk Hogan had his funeral yesterday.
Okay, I didn't know that was yesterday.
Yeah, he had his memorial yesterday, I gotta say, I was surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, because it's not something that you should be surprised about or have any opinion on, but I was surprised at some names that weren't there, at least reportedly, as of right now. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Penny Hardaway is out doing the Pro-Am thing at the FESJC. I don't know if he has addressed the media yet. I assume at some point he will talk to the, you know, gathering of reporters there. And, you know, it's always kind of a good gauge. I think, like, what was it, 2 years ago, or maybe it was even last year. It was actually last year where, you know, he just didn't want to do it. He was kind of like really sour, on the media. He was sour on the entire situation. And, you know, a few short months after that, he had kind of turned a new leaf and he came on this show. He came on Field of 68. Like, he, you know, he was a media guy again all of a sudden. And I think it was a good look on him. And so I'm excited to hear from him today at some point out at the FESJC. Here's what we've got coming up on the show today. We are going to be joined by the one and only Jeff Goodman at 1:25. Excited about that. But at 11:25, we are going to have a first-time guest on the show. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with this gentleman, Brad, but he goes by Sammy P. His real name is Sam Panayotovic, all right? Who is he? He is the host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM network every single day. I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last few months, and, you know, he's a betting guy. But he's really a... he's just a gentleman and a scholar, really. Like, he kind of does everything. He, like, writes for Fox Sports. He hosts the show. I've been on his shows a bunch. And so I said, you know what, brother? It's time for you to return the favor. You know, I'm sick of one-way transactions.
That's right.
You know, in life, I give and I give and I give and I give and I give. It's time for me to take back some.
That's right.
You know, that's kind of the social contract. But no, he's a great guy, and we'll talk NFL with him. We'll talk college football with him. And more. So looking forward to catching up with the great SP shoot, Sammy P, at 11:25. And then Jeff Goodman is in for Norton Herd today, who could not be with us. But no worries. Jeff Goodman will be here. We'll talk to him about the tournament not expanding. We'll talk to him about his favorite college basketball player, Aaron Bradshaw, who had some elite work 5-on-0, or 1-on-0, I should say, yesterday. So anyway, we'll get into all that with Jeff Goodman at 1:25. So that is the show today. But a couple of items that I wanted to touch on here in the beginning of the show. The media world is changing. The media world is changing very quickly. Let's start with the debut of Hard Knocks last night. It's the Buffalo Bills, right? Buffalo Bills, is this on HBO still?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch a minute of it. I don't say that like proudly, like, oh, you watched and I didn't, he. I don't feel the need to watch it anymore. Hard Knocks used to truly be a huddle around the TV appointment television event. It used to be something that, like, we were going to learn from. We were going to come in the next day and talk about. I mean, I the first one they ever did was with the Ravens, of course, and that one was legendary back in the day. I remember the ones with Rex Ryan when he was with the Jets, when he said, let's go have a GD snack. Who could forget that? There have been a lot of small moments over the years. But like a lot of things in our society today, the need for hard knocks is less and less. It's not that interesting anymore for a couple of reasons. One is it's got to be approved. Everything in there has to be approved. So HBO has no autonomy over what actually gets aired. The team and the league has to approve that that's going to get aired. So right off the rip, you're like, this is stupid. Right off the rip, it's like, I only see what you want me to see. This is not much better than Chinese propaganda, Chinese Communist Party propaganda. So that's the first thing. Second thing is I don't even know if, like, we realize it subconsciously, but we are just, we're surrounded by content every single day, every single moment of our lives. Everything is content. On Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on TikTok, on any platform, we are absolutely surrounded by content daily. And that is a remarkable change from when this thing started. When Hard Knocks start? I would imagine, what, like 98?
That sounds about right.
Like early 2000s. Yeah. So 2001.
Okay.
All right. Think about media in 2001.
Right.
It was TV and radio. That's all it was. I mean, the internet existed, but YouTube wasn't a thing yet. There was no place to, you know, maybe you had message boards, so you go on a message board and you just talk about the team, but, like, you didn't have anything in terms of, like, updates from the team itself, you know? I mean, the teams were, you know, trying to practice.
Right.
Now, all of these teams have their own content arms, you know? They are, like the Grizzlies have Grand City Media here in Memphis.
Right.
To imagine that 24 years ago, you couldn't have. You couldn't have. The NFL and teams of the NFL have gotten into the media business no different than a newspaper gets into the media business. Now, again, they're going to tailor the content towards their, you know, they're not going to be reporting on Tyreek Hill going 105 in a 40, right, in Miami. But you're still going to get those locker room interactions. You're going to see the interviews. You're going to see like every single press conference that gets had, I can go watch on YouTube. I can go check it out. I can watch it live. And that's, I think, I don't know if it's unfortunate. I don't know if it's like whatever. Hard Knocks is good because if you're just into getting to know these dudes off the field, they'll have some spunky little moments. Like Tre'Davious White last night, I was talking to Jeff about it. He told me that design like an ice cream sundae or something.
And selling a new line of ice cream at this little joint.
Right. So that's what Hard Knocks is going to be good for. Yeah. It's like little moments like that. But in terms of like the football, in terms of the strategy, in terms of anything else, you know, you're not going to get anything out of it. So I just kind of wonder how long this will go. I also think the in-season Hard Knocks has detracted from the training camp Hard Knocks. That is infinitely more entertaining and exciting than the preseason, because starters might not play, you're not playing real games. Like, there might be a practice scuffle or something like that, but by and large, you know, we want to know how these guys are feeling in the season, before a game, at half of a game, after a game. So I just think, like a lot of things, man, Hard Knocks has become a little obsolete is kind of how that's more about the media world than anything else, is that, you know, Hard Knocks was great when it existed in a world that wasn't a 24-hour news cycle. It was fantastic. It was like, oh, man, I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch this. And I'm going to catch up on all the things that, you know, I'm going to see this quarterback, how he's got a new weapon and all. But it's like, we by the time Hard Knocks airs, we already know all that stuff, really. We've already seen it. We've already familiarized ourselves with it. Doesn't mean that the production value isn't going to still be good. Doesn't mean that it can't be. I gather you were entertained by it. It seems like you were entertained by it last
night.
Yeah,
and I'm also not a Twitter or X-File, though. So,
right.
Like, you know, you got Jake and Brad are your very average NFL fan who are not weedy. So when you get non-Weedy fans who are not X-Files, like, you get a pretty good product usually.
Right.
You know? So I'm not capping. Like, I literally enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy it. I just feel like in terms of, for me, because I am chronically
online. Totally get your point, though. I think the point is 100% right. And I mean, and you were talking about media. There's all sorts of stuff changing today in the media landscape, and I'm sure you're going to touch on all of it. But, like, we are now, I guess... The major point might be, is it we're getting more puff pieces, basically? I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's just...
A lot of puff.
We're not really getting... Like, it used to be alpha. It used to be, like, things that we didn't know. But now we're just overloaded with information all the time.
Well, what's interesting last year they were already approving it, right? You know, where the Bears have to approve this.
Oh, the Raiders. I mean, it's been going on for a while now.
But what was interesting as a fan of this show last year is I thought the Bears showed poorly and too much, and so did the Giants. Like it was the Giants. The Giants, because their GM was featured heavily in this thing last year. He looked like a damn moron, and that was during the Saquon Barkley stuff. I think they probably learned the lesson, and the Bills probably watched that and went like, we ain't showing S, man.
Right.
You know, like, you're going to get an ice cream you're going to get what we approve, and that's it.
I saw, like, I just looked up the reviews, and the reviews were that, like, they called them the mostly boring Bills. I don't know if you would agree with that, but...
Yeah, it's all desolate right now. I watched a Yankees game and this last night.
That's right.
You know? I mean, that's what I did.
That's the sports calendar right
now.
That's
it. It's baseball and that show.
So anyway, like, for me, and I might be the minority here, because I
don't think you are. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle there.
Right. Like, I for my job and jobs, am just chronically online.
Yeah.
So anything that this series, but also there is a whole wide world out there. And, you know, everybody doesn't have to be on the internet all the time like I am. So, anyway, for me, it's obsolete. For you, maybe, and I'm not saying to you, but
for the audience. Some people, sure.
You know, you may still find some entertainment and some value out of it.
The one sports nugget I did get out of it is the Tre'Davious White story. I thought that was interesting.
Right.
You know, him returning to the team, and then they've got some, they're nicked up at the corner right now, so they've got issues there.
Now, look, here's the thing. If you told me that next week, we're going to get Haley Steinfeld visiting training camp.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I think they probably want that. That'll be a ratings bonanza for HBO.
But I don't know that will happen.
Josh, the other thing you learn quickly, I actually like it because I'm kind of vanilla, but Josh is pretty lame. There's nothing.
Well, again, you're going to kind of be, I was out on Hard Knocks. I mean, here's the truth. I was out on Hard Knocks when they were doing the Raiders. And they didn't even cover the Antonio Brown stuff.
That was ridiculous.
You know, and that's when I knew, like, this is an NFL-approved, deal.
What's interesting is they would be doing themselves, I think, not a disservice if they went at it hard.
Totally.
Like, if you went the opposite direction, you're like, we're going to do, look, you're in our league, like the WWE, only it's entertainment, obviously.
Right.
But follow me here.
Sure.
Like, we're going to let the access be the access, and if Josh Allen is a prick, then you get to see Josh Allen be a prick because he can't hit the new receiver that they just signed from L.A.
Again, I truly believe that back in 2001, it would have been like that. It would have been, guys cared less.
Which, now, by the way, you did see that, by the way. He could not hit the receivers for some reason. They're not on the same page yet.
Not yet. You know, they got some new guys. I mean, I think they'll get it figured out ultimately.
But I think your point is that's very valid.
It just changes. The world changes.
No doubt about it.
And the world will continue to change because – I mean, honestly, I don't. This is an ESPN affiliate. I mean, that we may be headed towards a monopoly. I mean, they're
buying up everything, aren't they?
It really is crazy.
Yeah.
So we knew about the NFL. We knew because we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
I think that was like reported on Thursday initially. But just to get you up to speed, if you missed it, ESPN is acquiring the NFL Network and other NFL media assets, including the rights to the league's popular Red Zone channel, in a deal that will, in exchange, see the NFL get a 10% equity stake in ESPN. So ESPN buys the NFL, acquires the NFL Network and other NFL media assets, and in return, the NFL gets a 10% equity stake. So, I mean, you want to talk about conflict of interest all over, this is it, man. But we've talked about that, right? Like, so ESPN is just getting, I mean, they're going full bore into the NFL business, which is smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart business because the NFL is king. I mean, I think I saw something about the Hall of Fame game ratings that they outdrew, like, an NFL Finals yeah. game or something,
yeah.
or an NBA Finals game.
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes to show you everything. And that was a 7-game NBA series, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts. So I think that's telling in and of itself. So it's you want to get the NFL business, I think that's a smart decision. So you're going to have that. Scott Hansen confirmed he's still going to be doing the red zone hosting and everything like that. So people were worried about that. I don't know how much is going to change. Who knows? But also this morning, we got more news of ESPN conquering. ESPN has... They haven't purchased the WWE.
No.
But they have purchased the rights to certain events to air on their platforms. So WrestleMania, which
yes.
is the granddaddy of them all, will be part of ESPN's new direct-to-consumer streaming service starting in 2026, thanks to an agreement between WWE and ESPN. That's obviously two nights event. That's a two-night event now, as is SummerSlam, plus what they call PLEs, premium live events. All right, just get up to speed on the TV jargon, Brad. You're going to have to.
I don't like it if I'm going to have to pay for it.
So it's Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, Money in the Bank. WWE will produce the events for ESPN platforms, which will serve as their exclusive U.S. domestic home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, WWE just did the deal with Netflix. I think that's Raw is the big thing there on Netflix. So I think that will remain the same. But they're going to move their PLEs over to the ESPN DTC. And I'm not sure. I think Linear, those events like WrestleMania and SummerSlam will be on ESPN.
Okay.
Or ESPN2.
One of their platform TV shows.
Linear, yes.
The regular TV stations.
All the other ones will be on the app.
Okay.
Right? Following me?
Yeah, I'm totally following you.
So.
One of these side things,
it's the ESPN app.
Right.
But it's their ESPN Plus. They're just taking the plus away, and that's. Mm-hmm. But yes.
They're going to have you eventually a la carting this crap, though. Like where you have to pay individually, I would take it.
Well, if you have cable. You will get the ESPN DTC app.
That's good.
It sounds like.
Okay.
Otherwise, you will have to buy it at $29.99 a month. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So again, but we already kind of do that with ESPN Plus.
Yeah, we do.
It's not as expensive. It's only $11.99 a month, I believe, or $12.99. But, I mean, again, if you have to have it, you have to have it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part of this that is just crazy, is that we are sort of, ESPN is getting to a place where they are damn near going to be able to charge anything because they have everything.
Right.
They have WWE now. They have all of the NFL now, basically, except for like one night a week, you know,
right,
and that's
yeah.
on
one
Thursday.
Of those apps or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
And I think Peacock Apple. Maybe gets a playoff game or something. but other than that, the NFL has absolutely everything. So I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this. WWE events used to be on Peacock, right? That was where they used to be. But now they are going to ESPN. What I would like is if all of the games were on, like, let's just go all in. Let me cancel Peacock. Let me cancel, you know, as much as I can. I mean, I'm going to have Amazon Prime Video because my wife, I get 4 packages a day. So I have to have the Prime. So that's fine. But let me cancel Peacock, which just went up to $10.99 a month.
That's crazy.
Let me just cancel one thing, and then you know, I will pledge my allegiance to the ESPN. But that is where this thing is going. Everything is going to be under the ESPN umbrella. I mean, they have, you know, so much college football already. They have, you know, the NFL. They have the WWE. They have some NBA, not all NBA, but some NBA. So. I mean, well, they acquired Inside the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing?
They're acquiring everything,
bro. They're just
and when you get WWE, you've decided you're any sport entertainment. UFC, they cut that deal with UFC, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. Yeah, I mean, it's they have everything. And look, I have no bad things to say about ESPN. Like, I think, you know, it's been the banner. I mean, we're an ESPN affiliate, and I have always thought that being an ESPN affiliate adds such credibility to what we do.
I agree.
If tomorrow we became 92.9 FM WMFS, it would not hit the same.
Right.
You know, even though ESPN doesn't really do anything for us necessarily, it's still nice to be able to say, hey, I work for the ESPN radio station in Memphis.
Well, and I think two things on that, and we've talked about it over the years because you've been with us forever. ESPN, before we had local talent, still meant something, and it got at least us started, right? Before we hired John Martin, and we had local John Martin, who's awesome, we had, you know, good, relevant ESPN national content. Of course, that takes you to one level, and then you got to get to another level with the local content. But and then I do have average sports fans who come up to me all the time, and they're like, you're with that ESPN station. You probably get that, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, when people ask me where I work, I just say ESPN in Memphis.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, and even though that's it's not true.
No, it's right.
I don't work for ESPN, but it's not.
Our checks don't come from ESPN,
that's
folks.
Right. They come from Odyssey.
Yeah.
I
at
think.
Least for now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just.
I think mine cashed this
always,
week.
Always keep an eye on it.
Yeah. It's fluid.
But yes, ESPN is going to rule the world, and you will have to, you know, pledge your loyalty to ESPN via video, you know, out here.
It's like
at some point.
The Third Reich here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. They are ready to take over the world. So they have done that. They got the WWE. They got the NFL. They got inside the NBA. They have, you know, your spouse. So it's everything.
It would be nice if when you pay that bill for Prime that your wife is getting all those boxes for that you, like, get something, like, you get all the ESPN if you pay for Amazon. And there may be a day that actually does happen. Who knows? I mean, Bezos has got the cash.
I won't rule out anything. I certainly will not rule out anything in 2025 and beyond. But anyway, there you have it. WWE now moving to ESPN. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Royal Rumble Survivor Series. I guess Raw will stay on Netflix. And I think SmackDown still on Fox? So if SmackDown's on Fox, it will stay on Fox. Yeah. So there you have it.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, interesting times, man. No doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. Oh, no, it's on USA again.
USA Network?
So it was on Fox.
How about
now
that?
It's back on USA Network. It went to Fox from USA Network. Mm. Now it's back as of September 2024 on USA Network. I can't keep up, man. I can't keep up with this. It's crazy. but I do know this. If you like sports, you're going to be watching ESPN.
Well, and wrestling doesn't seem to be backing down in popularity.
No,
I mean, like, people bitch about wrestling. It's not getting any, you know, it's only getting more popular.
It's a huge thing, man. It's crazy because it used to be so much better, you know, when I was a kid. It wasn't nearly, but maybe that's why it was so good, is because, like, they didn't care. They didn't care about appealing to the masses. They had, like, this base that they knew they could get, and they could be themselves. Yeah. And the bigger that your audience gets, the more
sanitized.
You have to absolutely, you know, cater to the kids. Like, you know, John Cena, hustle, loyalty, and respect, you know? And, like, when I was growing up, it was like, shut your bitch ass up. You can't
it was.
You know, like, it was just, we loved that, you know? You got milk trucks being driven out to the ring, spraying everybody with milk and stuff. It was just nuts. Nice. Hell in the cell. We got nails in the damn canvas.
Blood, like real blood.
No, now, listen, some of those wrestlers now can't walk. I mean, it's terrible.
That's fair.
But at the time, it was just as good as it. I mean, you had the Hardys jumping off of ladders and
stuff.
Bro,
we were so much better when it was, like, guys couldn't walk, though. I hate it for their lives, but.
Same is true as the NFL. Like, when you know, when CT. You could just hit whenever and
kill
however.
Somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, it's terrible. But
no, it's the truth, though.
The product was better. It was more entertaining.
Right.
I'm not saying anybody needs to die from my entertainment, but we can acknowledge that it was more entertaining, can't we?
Yes.
When you had damn Jeff Hardy jumping off 40-foot ladders onto the... I mean, yeah. I mean, crazy. They don't do that anymore.
No.
And somehow it's more popular. I can't explain it. I can only imagine if, like, they could do that today, how huge it would be.
I think the sexualizing they've kept pretty intact, though. Like, they've done a pretty good job with that part.
Yeah, you know, honestly, they really have toned that down, Brad. Like,
really?
They used to do, like, Vince McMahon once told Trish Stratus to get on her knees and kiss his bottom.
Wow. Yeah, that ain't happening today.
And then he forced her,
He forced her to strip. Yeah, I remember the strip with the coats and
That's
next level sexualization.
That was terrible, but again, we liked it.
It works.
So... But I can't really do the sociological dissertation today.
Mm.
I just want to talk to my man.
Which is connected to Stern, by the way. You saw the Stern news, too, right?
I did not see the Stern news. Maybe we can get to that in a little bit. I got to catch up on that.
Yeah.
But we're going to come back, talk to Sammy P about you know, the Monopoly that's coming and some college football and NFL. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN? Sammy P. Sam Paniadovich. is the host of Bet Sweats every single morning on the BetMGM network. He's a good buddy of mine. I look forward to seeing him next week in Las Vegas. And for the first time, he's here now. Sammy, this is a new thing, but I think it's a good rule for first time guests on the show and on the station. You have to say something nice about Memphis.
I got so drunk on Beale Street when I was 22. I drank those blue things at one of the bars, like those blue frozens. It was one of the most interesting weekends of my entire life. I was 22 years old. We drove straight down 57 from Chicago, just like Derrick Rose used to. Landed in Memphis, not literally, figuratively landed because we drove. And I drank so many blue slushies, I never want another one. Basically,
yeah, I think that would have been Wet Willie's would have been the spot that you get those. So okay, all right. So you had a good time in Memphis once upon a time. We'll take that. We'll take that. Welcome to the show, man. What's going on? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm good. I can't wait to see you in Vegas. And I am also. You caught me in the middle of betting more money on the Toledo Rockets win total over 8.5 in college football. Just another day in the life, as you know.
Yeah, Sammy is a whale of whales. You know, he bets things like this if he can. Right? You're limited everywhere. The Vegas won't take a single bet from you. They see you and they escort you out of the building.
No, but I've had tough luck at some of the other books. It's so difficult. It's funny you bring that up because we were trying to bet 2 weeks ago. We were trying to bet Carson Beck to win the Heisman. And there was one sports book that had a 37-1 on him. The market was about 20, 25. And I said, well, I want the 37. Problem is you can't bet the Heisman in Massachusetts, which is where I live. So I have to phone a friend or send cash to somebody in a Heisman state, but you also have to send it to the right person because I can't just bet $1,000 on that at 37-1. They won't take it. So I have to find the right person in the right state to be able to get 500 down a couple times. Like they won't take $1,000. So we tried to split it at 5 and 5. We got the first 5 and then they dropped the price. So I have 5 at 37 and then 5 at about 28. You know, people think that you could just get down all this money. It's very difficult to get money down in markets like that at prices like that. Like I can get down anything on an NFL game on a Sunday morning, but betting a 37-1 Heisman shot is a lot more difficult than people think.
Absolutely. Well, you could actually, I'll get you in touch with my producer, Brad here. He has unbelievable limits. All the books love his action. So, you guys can hook up so you can keep committing wire fraud. I'll just make sure that, you know, Brad's on top of it. Let me ask you this about some sort of, you know, it's procedural, but I am curious sort of what your take on it is, you know, there's this one big, beautiful bill provision and it kind of got snuck in there about gambling tax law. And, you know, there are going to be people, Sammy, that listen to this and they're going to say, well, I don't report my gambling anyway. You're committing tax fraud, just so you know. But for those people who are trying to stay on the right side of the law here, basically now, in most states, it does vary from state to state, but in most states, you can write off up to 100% of your losses. As part of the new One Big Beautiful Bill, which I know that you were in big favor of, you can now only write up to 90% of your losses. So that even if you, for example, broke even, you would owe taxes on 10% of income that, you know, you did not make, phantom income. I'm curious, do you think this will have an impact on sports books, on betting, on volume, or just do you think it gets repealed? Just what's your view on that item?
So the math on it, let's use a flat number. Let's use 10,000. Say you win 10,000 and lose 10,000. This is just dollars risked. You risk 20. You win 10 and you lose 10. Under the old law, it's a wash, right? It's zero. It's 10 and 10. But under the new law, I technically owe 1,000 on that because I would only be able to, you know, put the math in my favor for 9 of the 10,000. So even if I win 10 and lose 10, I would owe 1,000, which is very unfair. Like it's hard enough to win at minus 110. Now I can only do 90%. So it's brutal. I hope it gets appealed. I think we're going to learn a lot about it at Bet Bash next week in Vegas, which I know you're going to. So there's a congresswoman named Dina Titus out of Nevada, and she is sort of helping lead the charge on this because a lot of the casinos in Nevada are very upset about this because it's going to affect the entire business model. And to your point, a lot of people don't report their gambling, although you should. So I think there's a good chance. I think it's probably 60-40, 65-35 that they can actually get this ironed out and figured out. But I listened to Derek Stevens, who owns the Big Beautiful Circa on Fremont Street there in Vegas, and he's been very vocal about it. If you want to just Google Derek Stevens BBB, Big Beautiful Bill, you'll see his thoughts, and that's from a guy who operates three casinos in the heart of Las Vegas. That's what I would tell you. I would tell you to look up on it or research it up. But I think there's a good chance it gets figured out. I hope it does, because if that's the case, you're going to lose a lot of money in the American market. It's going to go back offshore. It's going to go back into the islands and back into places like that. But now you see the DOJ is trying to squeeze down on offshore books. So they just continue to come from money earned and money won, and that's unfortunate. I mean, the professionals are obviously the most ones that are vocal about it, but it does affect everybody. It certainly does.
And I would say it's not that difficult, you know, to run up a big, you know, to run up a big number in terms of wagers. You know what I mean? Like, forget winnings. Like, it's really just not that hard to bet, you know, a lot of money because you can take, you know, you can take $2,000. You can start with $2,000, you know, and you can turn that $2,000 into, you look up, damn, I bet $75,000. I bet $100,000. I bet $100,000. You know, it's really just not that hard to do. And so I hope it does get repealed. There has been a lot of support for it, you know, bipartisan support. So it could get snuck in. But in the meantime, and this is not an advertisement, it's just what I've done because I'm trying to get myself in the habit. I don't know where you are on this, but I've been betting mostly on Kalshi. I mean, like, if I've been doing sports stuff, because somehow, some way, That is a CFTC regulated derivative. Like, it's not treated like sports gambling, and so it is not taxed as sports gambling. So, you know, I mean, we could get into sort of the particulars there at Bet Bash, but that's where I've been. Are you on there at all?
I'm not. I've thought long and hard about it, though, and that's just one of the few that you can use. Polymarket's another one, and those are markets and marketplaces that allow you to do things that aren't just on sports. I mean, they're taking bets on what will be thrown next on a WNBA court. Not that that's my cup of tea, but it's not regulated. So, at least not regulated like a sports book. So yeah, they found that gray area between, you know, legality and not legality and sports book or not. So, you know, like books like DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM could never offer markets like that because it's just not regulated. But Polymarket, Kalshi, a couple others are able to do it because they hide behind a different moniker. And it is a fascinating conversation. But I'm very curious to see how this all plays out over the next 6 months. There's optimism for a repeal. But with this government, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen.
It's 60% chance that it gets repealed this year up at Kalshi, which is kind of the...
Oh, that's exactly what I said. I said 60-40, 65-35. Look at me go.
Look at you go. I think the high was 67% that it got, or 69%, nice, that it got repealed. But it's down to 60. And I would bet no. I would just bet no, because I don't think there's a lot of appetite, you know, fair or not, to help out gamblers. I just don't. So I would bet that it does not get repealed and hope that I'm wrong, but that's kind of where I'm at on it. These are issues. I mean, these are real issues that we're tackling here that I don't think the average listener right now even realizes. Like, if you're betting, not only are you trying to beat 110, you're now trying to be, I don't even know what the new number makes it, you know, the new 90%, but it's like, you're impossible. It's just absolutely, and it's like, put it this way, even when you lose more. Like, so, you know, I just think it's going to be a hell of a thing for people to wake up to. All right, let's turn the page here. We're talking to Sammy P from Bet Sweats Bet MGM Network. Great guy on Twitter, SP Shoot, host Chicken Dinner show that I've been on. You just mentioned you're betting some college football. What are you thinking? Like, what's just your general thinking of college football? Like, when I bring up, all right, 2025 college football, go. Like, what's the first thought that pops in your head?
I find it fascinating that Texas is not only favored to win the national championship, but they have the Heisman favorite who's 5-1. And I assure people that is about as low as it gets in the month of August. Arch Manning, of course, is the quarterback that we're talking about. 5-1 in Vegas, 525. So one wins you five or 5.25. I have seen 10 straight Heisman favorites fall completely flat. And I would never bet a guy in August at 5-1, but you're talking about company like Sam Darnold, Leonard Fournette, Spencer Rattler, DJ Uiagalelei. Those guys were all summer favorites, as I like to call them, and none of them came close. It's very, very difficult to get down on a Heisman favorite at 5-1. But then you look at Texas and the win totals 9.5 because Texas plays a ridiculously insane schedule. And I like a lot about what they have. I think they have maybe the best defense in the country. But to expect them to go out there and win 10, 11 games when you got to go through, you know, a schedule like you're at Ohio State week one. That's an insanely tough game. Then you go to the Swamp. Then you go to Georgia. You play A&M. You play, you know, a couple other teams like Oklahoma, who might be better than people think. And Oklahoma, Texas is always a wild card for results. So I don't think the math in terms of like, all right, the win total is 9.5, but they're favored to win the title and their quarterback is 5-1 to win the Heisman. One of those numbers is wrong. It's either the 9.5 is wrong or the national title market is wrong. So that's sort of where I start. And then I can't tell you enough how many people have told me that bet for a living that Penn State is the best team.
Where I was going to go. Like, they are the darling of the sharps this year.
It's not even my opinion because I'm not there, but a lot of people that I respect look at everything they did in the offseason, including not only bringing over Jimmy Knowles, the defensive coordinator from Ohio State. Think about that. A DC leaves Ohio State to go to Penn State. That doesn't happen. But they bring back basically the entire offensive line, senior quarterback, two senior running backs, and they hit the portal at receiver. They have three transfers that put up decent numbers last year in other places. On top of a defense that's probably top five in the country with four NFL guys on it. I like them, actually, Johnny. I like them over the win total. I think they could easily be 11-1, 12-0. I think that's possible. But I have seen it so many times in my life with Franklin in these big games. And it's one thing to win in the regular season. It's another thing to survive a 12-team playoff. And I'm not betting them to win the title. I could be wrong there, but I am not there on Penn State National Championship. I could be wrong.
Right.
But usually when everybody's singing the same song, that's right. A scary place to live.
No, it is. I agree with that. I mean, it's just like always kind of the same thing. You know, I used to think Ryan Day would never win a championship until he did. So it is possible that James Franklin can do that. But I'm not in love with Drew. I get it. Like, he's, you know, Penn State's always right there anyway. Drew Aller's one of very few returning quarterbacks from, you know, a playoff team. Ohio State's reloading, Notre Dame's reloading, Texas is unknown, even as the favorite. Georgia, I mean, do we really believe in the kid at Georgia? You know, he didn't really show much. I get it. I'm not there. I am curious, Sammy, in NFL I have so much NFL preseason, it's disgusting. I really am disgusted with myself. I hope I'm not by the end of the weekend. But one game I'm particularly interested in is this Cleveland-Carolina game. And more specifically, because Cleveland is going to play Shedeur Sanders. They're going to start him. Again, this is the plan as of current. They're going to start him, and they're going to play him for 3.5 quarters. Yet, he's gotten basically no team reps. He's gotten, as of 2 or 3 practices ago, he wasn't getting any team reps. And as of this morning, I saw a report that he was not even working with the ones, yet they're going to throw him out there on Friday to start. What in the world is Cleveland doing with Shedeur Sanders?
I don't know, and I can tell you the market is betting heavily against. So when we saw this market open up, this is a Friday night game in Charlotte. Carolina opened up as a 2-point favorite. And you're thinking, all right, that seems fair. Well, look at the line now, 6.5. So it's a 4.5-point move against Cleveland, and a lot of that is against Shedeur. So now if you want to lay Carolina, you got to lay almost a touchdown, which I would never advise laying 4 points with the move. I mean, you're never going to win long term if you're laying 6.5 when you could have laid 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4. But the market doesn't respect Sanders. I think there's a lot of things that I don't understand about what Cleveland's doing. I mean, they took two quarterbacks in the draft in the offseason, I guess, because I don't think they drafted Gabriel. Or did I lose track?
They drafted Gabriel. Yeah, they drafted both.
So they have Gabriel and Shedeur, but they're going to start Flacco. Yay! You got to be really excited there.
Or Kenny Pickett. If he's healthy.
Or Deshaun Watson. Yeah, right. So, I mean, they came in professionals and they absolutely went to town on Carolina, laying it from 2 to 6.5. I have no interest in laying 6.5, but I don't know what I'm going to get from Shedeur. The reps are a big concern, and you know, I think his ability to perform under pressure, he couldn't handle pressure in college.
No, he couldn't.
Now he's going to handle it in the NFL. I have my doubts.
I think they're throwing him to the wolves. My conspiracy theory is that Stefanski did not want any part of Shedeur Sanders, and the decision was made for him, and now he's going to do everything in his power to basically, you know, force him out of Cleveland. That is my conspiracy theory, because otherwise this makes no sense. Like, you're not even letting the guy practice with the ones. You're not even letting him get team reps, and now you're going to start him in the first preseason game. Like, I just don't know how that makes any sense if you're invested in the guy's success. So this became incredibly interesting to me, and I do have a position on Carolina. I'll tell you who I've got. I've got Las Vegas going back to Seattle. And, again, all these are on Kashi, so – like, they're not like spreads, they're just money lines, and the prices are different. But I've got Vegas going back home, they're playing starters. I've got Bengals at Philly, they're playing starters. Denver at San Fran, they're playing starters. Giants at Buffalo, they're playing starters. Detroit over Atlanta, Atlanta doesn't care at all in this game. They're not playing anybody. And then I think that's it for now. And then Carolina. So that's what I've got. So just a little bit of a busy weekend in preseason. Now, when I get out there next week, you keep pumping up this place in Vegas. What's this place you keep pumping up that you're going to force me to go to?
I'm never going to force you to do anything. In fact, you can tell the audience when we hang up how you skipped my birthday last year at this place. But that's a different story for a different day. There's a place right by UNLV called Naked City. And no, it is not a strip club. It is a food place. The owner's from Buffalo. Good dude, friend of mine. I think they have the best wings west of the Mississippi. I'm adamant about that. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about Buffalo and all that, and that's fine. But these wings are insane. And we're actually doing a little get-together next Wednesday. If anybody's going to happen to be in Vegas, we're giving away a free contest. There's a college football contest at the Westgate this year, which is 7 games against the spread. We're giving away a free contest and the proxy fee, and that'll be at Naked City, where I will be probably throwing down about 30 wings.
Wow.
Let's call it 7 whiskeys and raffling off a free entry in the contest. So I think that's pretty cool. I'm trying to support local.
I love that. I love that. I truly do. We do wings well. Wings pretty well here too, I would say, Sammy. But yes, I do love the fact that you're supporting local. Never been. I do hope to get out there. Although I will say, the Aces host the Liberty that night. I mean, that is quite the draw. I might want to throw something. I might want to, you know, I might be in the mood to throw something if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I do. I also see that the Green Goblins are sold out at Amazon. Did you catch that?
I did not. That's unbelievable.
If you go to Amazon and try to buy a green one, they're sold out.
I mean, I wouldn't do that. I don't want, like, I don't. My wife usually does the Amazon. I don't want her to see, like, why are you searching for a green goblin? You know, I really don't want to get into that. But yeah, that is quite the story. And Sophie Cunningham spoke that into existence, by the way. I don't know if you saw her podcast, but she said on her podcast, like, you're going to hurt somebody if you hit them with that. And then they threw it right at her and hit her with it, you know. So she manifested that, Sammy P.
It's just not a serious league, in my opinion. And maybe that's a different combo for a different day. But I don't understand the security situation. How are these things? How are they getting through security? And then the other, you want to throw your tinfoil hat back on. Is the league looking the other way at this from more eyeballs? I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out there into the ether.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's only one way. You know, you got to sit on it and you got to walk with it. You know, that's the only way that you know, you could get through, I think, because you're going to get searched, right? They have clear bag policies. So, anyway, I'll keep you updated on how that goes for me next Wednesday in my attempt.
Which part, going or sitting on it?
Both. So I'll keep you posted, man. You're the best. I'll see you out there next week.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Sammy P. Sam Panayotovich from Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. No, in all honesty, like, it's now become such a thing, unfortunately, where they're gonna have to ramp up security. I don't even know how you do it, though.
Yeah, how do you sneak in a ding-a-ling?
Well, it's easiest thing in a ding-a-ling.
In your ding-a-ling area,
you put it in your pants.
Yeah, it's by your unit.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a man that did this.
Well, and it's rubber.
Yeah, it is rubber. And so they can't necessarily put their hand on you there to search you.
Right. And you can't hand search everybody.
No, you can't. Although Jeff was on the air, he said he got searched someplace the other day, and he said it might have been at the airport or something because he forgot something or metal. He was talking about going through airport security. I don't think they can do that at the WNBA arena for
a phallus. They can't. No, that's not a thing that they, you know, are authorized to do.
No.
When you're doing air travel, you know, and you could be a
but
threat.
I like Sophie Cunningham. I don't want her to get hit in the head with a ding-a-ling from the audience.
No. No, I don't want anybody to get hit.
No. Specifically her. Specifically her. I don't want
Tina Charles, you're like, eh.
Maybe take a run at it.
Tina Charles is going to get hit with it. You're unbelievable.
I mean, no.
You know, honestly.
I should care for all WNBA players.
If I could do it, if I could throw it at somebody.
Yeah, if you could pick one.
I'd throw it at Kelsey Plum. Because I just think she's got bad vibes.
Really?
But I don't want.
Is it because she was dating your
no,
your
no, it has
former,
nothing to do with
former
that.
Raider dater?
I just think she has bad vibes. I think she's just kind of
she's a
jerk, I think, is how I'd say it. That would be I think she's a little arrogant. I think she's a little too full of herself. So I'll just throw a green goblin at her. You know, I'll throw a green goblin at a lot of people.
I didn't know that's what it was called, by the way, until you.
Well, it's not called that. We're just referring to
that's
it as that.
That's the lingo y'all got. Yeah, I was actually Googling green goblin. Like,
I think it's a little more tasteful than ding-a-ling. I mean.
Sorry. But, I can be better.
Yeah. But the old William Dafoe.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. But I would throw it at Kelsey Plum, and I, you know, maybe that makes me a bad person. But if I was going to do it, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not, although I do want to go to the Aces game next week.
That sounds like fun.
They're hosting the Liberty.
Do they play at Mandalay Bay still, or are they over in the arena?
Is it T-Mobile?
Yeah, they're in the real, like, their arena, the main arena right there by on the strip. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's
That sounds right. That's where all...
Michelob Ultra Arena, formerly Mandalay Bay Event Center, yeah.
Okay, so they're over Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, so that's it.
You're over there by the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to
I wonder how much tickets are.
Probably not that bad.
You don't think so?
No, you can buy a franchise for $350 million.
Well, that's a lot of money, bro. That's what the Grizzlies were worth 12 years ago.
Yeah, but now they're worth like $2 billion.
I know, but damn, dude, $350 million? That's not chump change.
It's a lot of money.
Even with the tariffs.
Yeah, right.
That's still a lot of money.
I mean, Boston bought one, and they're moving one in.
Let's just do the...
see what we got on the ticket prices so we can set your trip up.
That's right. I'm just trying to do a little...
WNBA tickets,
planning
Aces.
While I'm here. You can get in for $26.
Great.
But I want to get a good seat.
Yeah.
So how much is a good seat going to run me?
Let's see. Passer could get you like a skybox there. Call him.
Yeah, so you can get like decent seats for like $90.
As low as $11 on Vivid Seats.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not
a pie.
That's not awful.
No.
$90 to sit like at a decent, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to sit, that's like at the that's like on the baseline, right?
Right. Those are good tickets.
Behind the goal.
Okay.
$90. If you want to sit like on the sidelines, you know,
how much
watch,
is that?
Watch it the sort of long way, you're going to pay probably about $140.
That's great though for a ticket like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Are you staying on that end of the strip or on the Stratosphere end?
I'm on Fremont.
Oh, you're downtown.
Yeah, I'm at Circa.
Good choice. Yeah. That's where you get the best deals.
Oh yeah, I can't do the strip.
Not that there's any deals anymore. Vegas is struggling.
I can't do the strip anymore, bro. If I can help it, I'm not going to do the strip anymore because it's just not. The only time I do stay on the strip is like, you know, when I do, you know, when you bet with Caesars, it's like you can get, every time you bet, yep, you get like reward points.
Right.
And if you get a certain number, you get a comp night.
Yeah.
So I'll accrue comp nights over the course of the year.
Yep.
And so I will use those. Although the issue is like, you can't use them when the Raiders are in town.
No.
So it's like, why would I need them then? I would only want to come out there to go to a Raiders game.
Yep.
And so, but then when you stay out there on the strip, bro, I mean, you know what it's like for anybody that's been out to Vegas in the last 3 to 4 years. It's just high as giraffe. You know what? I
now,
mean, it's just crazy.
This was a, there was a column I followed.